Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And Psalm 147, starting in the first verse, the psalmist says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. That is just a portion from Psalm 147 today. That which the Lord has placed on my heart. I am interested today in particular, verse number 3, the psalmist said, "He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds." We live in a broken world today. There is a brokenness on the international side of things, from the failings of human relations and the government. I believe it is seeing him broken systems, broken programs, and broken promises. As a matter of fact, every human life experiences brokenness. We all can admit today that we understand what brokenness is all about. Maybe it's the brokenness of the broken relationship. Maybe it's the memory of a broken hope. Maybe the disappointment of a broken dream. Or even the reality of a broken friendship. Broken things that are so common in our lives that no one just takes them I thought of other things. There was that pertaining with the reality of a broken body. There was that of a broken heart because of a husband or wife that they planted in the cemetery. Their broken homes, broken hearts, broken lives, broken health, broken smells, all just thought of a world filled with brokenness is sad. But in these words I read today, there is a glorious word of hope that is found here. The psalmist says, me, he hurt the broken in heart and binds up your wounds. What a blessing just to read those words today. I want to share just a few thoughts today about help for broken hearts. Help for broken hearts. Before the psalmist ever got to that phrase in the third chapter, the psalmist begins with a call for praise. In verse 1, the psalmist says, praise ye the Lord. As a matter of fact, the psalm begins and ends the same way. The psalm begins, praise ye the Lord. The psalm ends in verse 20, praise ye the Lord. As a matter of fact, that praise, that word, praise, actually means hallelujah. The psalmist starts the psalm by just pausing him a moment. It says, hallelujah. I believe that is a good word for our vocabulary. I believe just ever so often out of our lips all the gentle words well just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But to the Lord. What a fitting word that is for him. As a matter of fact, the psalmist continues. He said, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. That word comely means it is a beautiful thing. It is a lovely thing when God's people Praise the Lord. I have said it on numerous occasions. I will say it again today. The most heavenly thing that we can do, the most heaven-like thing we can do here, is to praise and worship the Lord. That is what is taking place in heaven. I believe God is blessed, praised, and honored when we with a heart filled with wonder and love just praise Him. Praise the Lord, of the psalmist here. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. Such an exhortation may fitly be addressed to all those who owe anything to the favor of God. Then he said, and which of us does not pay him we cannot, but praising we will fail him forever. I believe God loves it when we just praise the Lord. He is pleasing to God, beneficial to ourselves, and a blessing unto others, when God is praised. I think of hundreds of reasons today why I'm praising. I look around our congregation, and I can see dozens of reasons why we all are praising. I see people battle cancer, dealt with sorrows, broken hearts. I see people still dealing with heartache, still dealing with burdens. But here we are, able to be in God's house, worshiping and honoring Him. I say today, praise the Lord. Bless His holy name. He is worthy of our praise. So the psalmist begins with a call for praise. But then in the second and third verse, I see a chair that is personal. The psalmist is recalling in verse 2 how God brought back the children of Israel from captivity. He says that verse 2, the Lord just built up Jerusalem and gathered up together the outcasts of Israel. The psalmist is talking about time when they were in bondage, captivity, picturing, hey, sounding, badgering, hey, spin. But he said, God brought us out. God delivered us. God just brought us outcast and brought us back in. Why would God do such a thing? I read the history of the nation of Israel. I read how they worshiped idols, failed to honor God. Yet I read how God allowed Babylon to overtake them. Why didn't God just say, I've been patient, I've waited, I wanted you to serve me and you wouldn't. So just sit in heaven. Just stay there. Just say, why would God, after 70 years, bring them back home? Because he loved them. Because he loved them. I'll be honest with you. I look at my life. I see all the places, all the times where I failed him. I look at my life and I see the times in my life. I look back and say, God, you could have run me home back there. God, you could have forgotten all about me back there. God, you could have just let me die out there. Because I disobeyed you. But he loved me. And he brought me back unto himself. I thought it's you that I am his child. Well, no matter what may change in my life, no matter what may come, he loves me. And that'll never change. That'll never change. But then the psalmist, I didn't read it all, but the psalmist in verses 8-11 talks about how God just not only cares for Israel, but how he cares for his creation. I'm not going to read all the verses. But it talks about how God sends the rain on the earth. Oh, it's been awfully hot and dry. But every now and then, God will send some rain in the heart of the earth. God is faithful. Take care of his creation. He even says in those verses how he feeds the animals. Make sure even the young ravens have something to eat. You know what that old raven is? That raven's just a big black crow. Them things that eat your garden. Them things that get out there and pull the corn back. So you put pants on a stick to try to scare them off. I'll be honest, I don't have much affection for a crow. But God does. God takes care of even them homes. Dirty birds. I see crows on the side of the road picking at dead things. So I want to tell you, even God cares about them old dirty crows. Preacher, what are you saying? There are people in this old world, you and I probably wouldn't give them the time of day. They may be smell bad. They look bad. Maybe they're homeless. And we pass them by without a touch of a thought. But God loves them. God cares for them. And Jesus died that they might be saved. I want to tell you, God cares about His creation. But then, in verse 3, He moves up from creation. He moves up from Israel. And He says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You see, that is so very personal. God says, the psalmist says, God looks beyond nations and creation to see individuals. He is describing people that have been burdened or crushed by life and the circumstances they face. You see them words there. Broken is being crushed. The word heart to the psalmist isn't that origin that pumps your blood. But that word heart talks about the very seed, the very core of your being. He says that He healeth the broken in the heart. He heals, He mends, He restores those who are broken in heart. I'm glad He gives power to the power. Glad He gives strength in our weakness. I'm glad He gives hope in our hopelessness. Glad He gives grace to face life. There are people sitting here today that may be where you are. Maybe you're saying in your own mind and thoughts, I never had a brokenness just like this. Oh, what a feel in my heart. I just can't describe it to anybody else. My heart is so broken. My spirit deep within just feels crushed. I thank God there's a word of encouragement and a word of hope that says, He, the Lord, healeth the broken in heart. But then He didn't stop there. And He said He bindeth up their wounds. That word wound is more than a physical wound. so that could be included. But it means any kind of wound. The word actually talks about the death of the wound. It describes being hurt to the extreme by the crushing realities of life. God never promised us this life would be easy. God never promised us you'd never hurt. God never said you'll never be wounded in this life. There are wounds that come that we had nothing to do with, just somewhere, somehow, we ended up being wounded deep in our heart. Circumstances beyond our control. Sickness that came out of the blue. Problems that arose just out of an ordinary day. Finding your own business. Just the other week, Alice, driving to work, like she's done for years, past a certain intersection, like she's done for years. And a lady turns and hits her in the side of her car. Finding her own business. Sometimes life's that way, isn't it? You didn't ask to be hurt. You didn't ask to be wounded. You didn't ask to spend weeks in treatments and dealing with cancers. But the game. Bible says he bindeth up their wounds. It is the idea, kind of like you get hurt. Turn to the emergency department, see the doctor, they put some medicines on it, they wrap it, and so it'll heal. I couldn't tell you how many times that I've paddled on my knees somewhere and I said, God, I am so hurt. I feel so wounded in my heart. And God in grace just wraps up that wound. Puts the balm and Gilead on it. And he says, you'll be all right. And I'm not telling you something you don't know. You've done the same things in your life and in your heart. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe that's kind of where things are for you. But I see not only call for praise and a care that's personal, but I see a compassion that's powerful. Notice what he said in verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He said, the Lord lift his arms and meet those that are brought down humble. There is a compassion that's powerful. You know what the psalmist talks about? He said he telleth the stars by name. He telleth them. That's the idea. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. In our society today, scientists are able to do modern technology to see farther and more in space than they ever have before. I read that this is what they say. They estimate the size of the universe to be 10 trillion galaxies. Our Earth is in the Milky Way galaxy. They say in the Milky Way, they estimate 100 billion stars. Somebody said if you multiply that by the number of galaxies, it said there would be 1 septillion stars. You say, preacher, I have no idea. Yeah, but that is, I don't either, but here's a way I'll explain it. They say you take the number one, put 24 zeros after it. That's how many stars they believe are in the universe. Rachel, what big deal is that? Our God knows every one of them. Our God sees every star that shines. He knows them not only by number, but He has a name for each and every one of them. My Bible tells me that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Bible says that He sees even when a sparrow falls to the ground. I've got bird feeders at my house. As I've gotten older, I love my birds. I love to watch them. I'll sit at times and just stare and watch them feed on the feeders. I've got one big old red cardinal. I call him Big Red. That's the name I give him. Boy, when he's on the feeder, not much else gets around him. But every now and then, I'll have a little chipping sparrow that'll land that thing. That thing's just a little old teeny thing. It'll land there at me. And fly away. There's a God in heaven who knows every one of those little sparrows. He knows when one falls. Preacher, why are you telling me this? Because if He has that kind of infinite wisdom, He knows your heart. He knows your hurt. He knows your brokenness. He knows your cares. He knows your worries. He knows about those bills you're trying to pay. He knows about the smoking that your car is doing. And you're saying, if you'll just start quitting on me, I'll be all right. He knows about those problems in your house. He knows about every single detail of our life. And He cares. He cares where you're at. He cares what you're going through. And the psalmist said, He bindeth up the broken, or healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're sitting here and saying, preacher, I'm not told anybody that what I'm going through in my heart. But God knows. He knows your heart. He knows your hurts. He knows just how bad you feel. I already had the message on my heart this week. And I found out Thursday and after that Holly has had a hard week. Randy told me last night she's been pretty much in the bed since Thursday. She's felt so bad. And I thought, Lord, I don't understand all that. I don't understand why things are as they are. But there's a God in heaven who knows. All the whys. There's a God in heaven who knows all the reasons. And He can heal. And He can bind up the wounds of hurting hearts. I'm glad that He knows where we are today. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're dealing with. And maybe today, you need to do what Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares about where you are today and about what you need. Brother Kevin, will you get us a song? I've given you the message of my heart. I've given you what the Lord gave to me to give to you. I don't know what you need to do with it. I don't know how you need to respond to it. But there may be a mom or a dad. There may be a husband or wife. There may be a grandma, grandpa. There may be a teenager. There may be a young person. There may be just anybody here today that God's touched your heart. And you need to respond to Him today, whatever your need is. There's a God in heaven that cares for you today. Let's stand. Let's sing.